All right, so I have Jessica, just joking, Lorraine on the phone with me. a wonderful woman that I was introduced to by my friend Nicole Powers of the Suicide Girls. And she has told me a little bit about Lorraine. But the most interesting thing that she told me about Lorraine is that she is a very outspoken, intelligent, beautiful woman who is going to lend herself to help give some insight to the people that are listening to this call. So, Lorraine, thank you so much for being on the phone with me.
Sure, hon. Thank you for having me. This is exciting. Good stuff you're doing.
Oh, thank you. So do you want maybe for you to introduce yourself? Just give a little bit of background on who you are.
Sure. My name is Lorraine Lewis, and I like to refer to myself as an 80s rock star because I was a big hair rock star. I was signed to MCA Records. I toured with Cheap Trick, and I've had a blast of a life doing all that. That's really what most people know me from. And, MTV, all that kind of stuff, rock and roll, over the top videos that were on MTV. Mm-hmm. And now I am still rocking and rolling, still writing music, but I am also now in the television arena and have just co-produced my first reality show, which is slated to come out. We're very excited. Slated to come out in April, but I don't have a date yet. It's going to be broadcast on the Slice Network in Canada, and it's about ex-wives of rock stars.
I love that.
And we're very excited about it. Yes.
I'm Canadian. So, did you know that?
I did not know that. We love Canadians.
Yeah. So, and I love people who love Canadians. So that's great. So awesome. I'll make sure to let people know in Canada to watch that show when it comes out.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thanks, Marnie.
So the interesting thing is that you were in the rock world for most of your life, okay? And so a lot of the guys that I work with, sometimes they look at guys who are in bands and who are rock stars, and they think, oh my God, they get all the chicks because they play guitar, or they get all the chicks because they are the singer in a band, but they're still jerks and douchebags. And what I would love to hear from you is just like your experience as a woman explaining why those men are attractive, because for guys, I want them to hear, and maybe it is true that it is simply because they play guitar or because they can sing, but I want to hear from a woman's point of view, like what it is about those types of guys that are attractive.
Well, that's pretty, easy for me actually, because I was attracted to a lot of them back in the day, especially, being in this male-dominated arena of, rock dudes, I was just like, wow, like I am a lucky girl to be around all this testosterone.
Right.
It was really cool to be around all that. But for me, and watching a guy on stage, it is an aphrodisiac. I mean, I will tell you that it is for a woman to look at a guy up on stage and go, wow, because there's power behind that. And there's confidence. And so when you break it down, it really is the same things that a woman is attracted to. And I was attracted to that when I would see a guy up on stage. There's it's mystical in a way. It's fantasy. You can watch this guy and just go, oh my God, like he's just amazingly strong. He's hot. Look at his body, all of that kind of stuff. So there's an initial attraction with that.
Yeah.
It doesn't always hold up once you meet them after the show, which is, a real letdown sometimes. But I think the initial attraction, when you see someone on stage, it's just, they come across super powerful. Everyone's eyes in the room are on them. And that's something really sexy. So I don't know if that completely answered your question or not.
It does. And I agree with you. So let's say somebody isn't a rock star. Let's say there's a guy who is a banker or an accountant or, works at the grocery store.
For me, it's the same thing, Marnie. It's the same thing.
Really?
You can be a blue collar worker and still exude confidence and, sexuality and just appeal, this overall appeal. You can, I mean, that can be anywhere. That can be in the fucking, you know, fruit, the fruit market or something, you know, that can be anywhere.
Okay.
So that, I think it really comes down to a confidence and how a guy holds himself and carries himself. And when you dig a little deeper, they might turn out to be a jerk. You never really know until you dig deeper. But I think that that initial attraction can be found anywhere.
I love that answer. So thank you for being so articulate in the way that you describe that, because I think it's very true what you just said. But an interesting point that you touched on before was that sometimes when these guys get off the stage and you interact with them, it's a letdown. So can you explain that a little bit more? Like, what is a letdown for you?
Well, sure. There's been many letdowns.
Right.
Along the way, for sure. Gosh, I could name names, but I don't think I probably should. I don't
right.
know. But you know, there's some definite particular rock stars that I hung out with, that I dated, that I got to know. And some of them I really had on a pedestal before I met them. And then in meeting them, they were arrogant. And there's a difference between confidence and arrogance. Arrogant, once they got off stage, and again, they owned the room, they were powerful, but they owned it in an arena of arrogance, and that's super unattractive.
Okay.
Just don't like that. Also, there were times when they would get up off stage and I would be so excited to meet them and hang out with them, and they would just be smashed off their asses. That's never attractive,
right?
On any level. You know, because
right.
you can't, then that's like a game. They're not even who they really are. And that's a real bummer. That's a super letdown.
Yeah.
And then I would say probably another letdown would be, you know, thinking that you're connecting with someone and then they're really connecting with every female in the room. And that's a super letdown, because you think, you know, for a moment you think, wow, like, I'm connecting with this guy and I'm special and he's special.
Right.
And then you hang out a little bit longer and he's working the whole room.
Right.
So that's not cool.
No, it's not cool. Well, you sound like a really confident woman who's been very, and maybe I'm, you know, misunderstanding, but you sound like you're someone who really knows herself and you can be confident to walk away from a situation like that. Mm-hmm. But for a lot mm-hmm. of the guys that I work with, they really believe that if you're a jerk and a bad boy, you will always get women. And there are tons of women who do stick in situations with bad boys,
yep.
even though they're horrible.
Yep.
Can you maybe explain why some of these women would stay with people who are bad boys and jerks and arrogant and rock stars?
Well, I think at first there's, you know, of course there's that initial attraction, right?
Right.
But I think if you dig deeper, it can sound really sad, but I really think that there is probably a problem with the female, to tell you the truth. I really do.
Okay.
Being a little older, a little wiser now, and, you know, thinking about all the times I was involved with someone that was a bad boy, that was a jerk, it was kind of something wrong with me more than the guy. It's like, it really has to do more with the woman that's attracted to that kind of person. And they might get the guy might get that girl for a while, but if she's really a quality woman, it just really can't last. It just, you're going to have explosions and drama, and there's nothing fun about that. I mean, I left that alone a long time ago. There's just nothing sexy about lots of drama and madness, you know. There's just nothing good about that. So I think that they stick around because they're needy. They like the glitz and glamour. They like being around a hot guy and showing off. But there's got to be more to them. There's got to be more to the guy to have a real quality woman stick around. It just has to be.
I agree with you. But so for some guys, they're thinking, like the ones that are listening, they're like, oh, I don't care if I have a quality woman. I just want to have sex with hot girls. So,
right.
And that, which there's nothing wrong with that as long as they're not being complete douchebags. But so
right.
for these girls that fall for bad boys, like let's say there is, you know, a quality woman who does fall for the bad boy initially, but because she is a quality woman, she'll be smart later on down the road. So in the beginning, why does she fall for the bad boy? Like, what is it about that guy? Is it that confidence and that strength that you were talking about before?
I think so. I think that because I know I can look at myself, and that's definitely the first things that get you going. It's like, you know, you just meet somebody's eyes from across the room, and it's like, okay, well, wow. Like, I looked at that guy. He looks like my type, quote unquote type, whatever that is. And sometimes the type could be when I see a guy and I look at him and he seems like he's put together. And I don't mean like in a cheesy way, but just that he took the time to care about his appearance for himself.
Okay.
You know, that's attractive. You know, he's not just a guy like that's just a sloppy dude hanging out with his buddies, drinking beer on the weekend. I mean, there's nothing really attractive about that in a social setting,
right?
To me,
right?
You know, it's just not. I mean, if you want to look like that, there's nothing wrong with it. But I think that there's a time and place for all of that. And so I like to see a guy that, you know, looks like he has it going on for himself. It doesn't mean like he has to go out and spend a bunch of money, you know, somewhere and have this amazing outfit. It's not even about the outfit. It could be a white t-shirt and a pair of jeans. But just the fact that he, you know, he took the time to put it together, look nice. His hair is, you know, looking attractive. He doesn't look all dirty and messy and, you know, smelly and like disheveled, like he doesn't give a flip, you know,
right.
Then, you know, and like I say, I mean, there's a time and place for that. I mean, maybe once you meet that guy and he's awesome and you guys are hanging out on a Sunday afternoon, maybe both of you are just kind of kicking back and, you know, in a regular, you know, like whatever, barefoot and soft and, you know,
right.
When you know, and I have my hair tied back in a ponytail, like that's great, you know, but that initial charm and attraction is to me someone that looks like they, you know, took the time to care about what they look like. And then in that, there's a confidence because they feel good about themselves and you're attracted to that. I'm attracted to that.
Me too. I'm attracted to confidence. I'm attracted to a man who can lead and make decisions and is grounded. So I think we're on the same page with that. And I've interviewed thousands of women over the past decade and they will all say the same thing, if not something extremely similar. So if you can try and put yourself into a social setting for a second and picture some guy approaching you and talking to you, what would and could a guy do to increase the amount of attraction that's being created between the two of you? Like, what is your ideal way to be approached and to have conversation when first meeting a man?
Gosh.
It's a hard question, so don't worry if it takes time to think about it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things, and I can, you know, God, there's so many things that come into play with it, though, for me, because anybody can come up and talk to me, and I'll talk with them. I'll talk, you know, I'll engage in a conversation, but I'll know immediately if it's going to lead to anything.
How quickly will you know?
I will know within the first probably 2 minutes of talking to somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it is just the initial walking over and even making the approach is cool. And I think that that's awesome when a guy feels safe and confident enough that he can come over and, you know, and feel like he can come over and talk to me. I think that that's great.
Yeah.
But they can blow it right away. You know, if they think that they're being clever, like clever, creepy clever or cheesy clever, it's not clever. It's just
right.
Not. It's,
well, can you explain that a little bit? Like, can you give me an example of creepy clever?
Yeah.
I just want to give guys clever. Solid examples so that they understand. Because guys are like, I don't think I'm being creepy. Like, nobody has the intention of ever saying, I'm going to approach her and be really creepy. So
yeah, of course. Yeah, but they might come over and just be like, say something cheesy or say something like, you know, talking about Facebook or, you know, hey, you know, like I, you know, like something random like that, like trying to get your number or something, or bringing up the fact that talking about Facebook. I mean, I've had it happen. I totally had it happen, you know, and that to me is really cheesy. It's like, oh God, but if somebody's good, clever, it can be as simple as coming over and maybe putting their hand on your shoulder and whispering something like, wow, I noticed you from across the room. I think you're amazing looking, and I'd really like to visit with you for a little bit. Like, asking permission is nice. You know what I mean? Like, being a gentleman is really nice. Okay. Pulling out a chair for me when, you know, like someone that's conscious of what's going on around them. Like, maybe, you know, I could be standing at a bar and there's no place for me to sit, but maybe someone, you know, quietly just comes up and puts a chair next to me and puts out his hand and says, have a seat, or here you go. You know, like someone that's intuitive like that, I think is really sexy. Okay. You know, watching a woman, and maybe they, you know, they're watching you from across the room and they're noticing what's going on, and they take the time and the effort to come and like sort of pitch in, and they don't even have to say anything.
Okay. You know what I mean? Right. So that's the first check mark. So let's say a guy comes up to you and he leans in and he confidently says, you know, you're beautiful. And, I wanted to come over and say hi. My name is Greg. And you say, I'm Lorraine. Nice to meet you. And then what happens after that?
It's really nice to meet you. And, you know, I probably would say something if I thought he was attractive and I thought that, like, maybe he was sort of my, like I said before, my quote unquote type.
Yeah.
Then I would engage in conversation, and I would probably do more of the talking initially, to tell you the truth.
Really? So you would take the lead if you were instant?
Yeah.
That's from instant attraction, though.
Yeah. But I think that he probably had already taken the lead by coming over, putting his hand on my shoulder. Maybe, you know, I know you have to be careful with that when you don't know someone, but there's a way that people can do that. That they're basically just trying to engage you, that I think is very nice.
So,
or they could pull out the chair, or they could, you know, see that you're drinking possibly, and get you another one without even asking you what you're drinking. You know what I mean? Like, if they see you drinking a Bud Light and they see it's almost empty, instead of, you know, can I buy you a drink? It's like, if it just shows up right there and next to you, and you notice, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just sort of took initiative. Like, that's pretty sexy.
Okay. And I agree that that's sexy as well, but that can easily be lost. So, because I know the same thing. If I have like a certain type and a certain type of guy walks up to me, that in my mind, that guy who looks that way is like already has a couple of check marks in my book.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
There are things that if that guy literally just sat across from me after he bought me a refill on my drink and then started talking about himself for 5 hours, that would turn me off instantly. If he stood 2 steps away from me, like literally on top of my face, that would creep me out. Even if he's the hottest guy in the room and most attractive. So what are the things post the approach? Because, you know, before people say anything, you can only judge by their looks, and you know, you just see the fact that they confidently came up and approached you. So what are the things afterwards that you said 2 minutes for you to make a decision? So in those 2 minutes that they would do to engage you and make you say, okay, you know, if he would ask for my number, I would give it to him and I would answer the phone the next day.
I think primarily it would be, you know, like I said, initially he would make kind of a move and just be subtle about it. I like men that are more subtle, even though in that subtleness is a confidence and an approach, quote unquote approach, but it's not over the top. It's not loud. It's not obnoxious. That is a total turn off. But if they're subtle and, you know, and approaching me, and then I would probably start the initial conversation once, even if they sent over a drink or whatever, I would probably start the conversation. And then if they were a good, listener, like if they let me talk about myself instead of just answering questions about themselves or talking about themselves, I think that that would be really attractive too. Like I would want, you know, I would want to let them know a little bit more about myself if I felt comfortable. Okay. I don't know if we're totally pinpointing what you're looking for.
No, it's okay. We're talking through it. So I'm going to do like a mock situation with you, okay? Uh-huh. And this is what a lot of guys do when they approach. So I'm going to picture this. I come up to you and I say, "Hi, my name is Brad, and I saw you from over there, and you're super hot, and I wanted to, you know, buy you a drink. What are you drinking?"
Well, thank you. That's really awesome of you. I'm actually drinking Kettle One on the rock.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. I'm a Kettle One girl. And what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Bud Light. So, you know, what are you doing here tonight?
Well, I was going to ask you the same thing, to tell you the truth. What are you doing here tonight? And are you with your friends or are you by yourself?
I'm here by myself. So what are you doing here tonight?
Well, I was actually meeting a friend and she didn't show up. So I thought, you know, before I took off, I would have a bit of a cocktail. I'm not going to finish the whole thing because I'm driving, but I just thought I would have a cocktail and just sort of see what was going on in the bar tonight and see if there was maybe somebody I knew or somebody interesting.
Okay.
And you seem pretty interesting.
Okay, great. So do you like to come to this bar a lot, or, you know, is this where you usually hang out?
No, I've never been here before, and that's why I was curious about it. So I decided, you know, instead of, since my friend canceled on me, I thought, well, I might as well just go down, at least take a look and see what's going on down here. But I really kind of like it. What do you think?
It's great. Yeah, I like it. What else do you like to do? Like, where else do you like to go out?
Well, I really like to go to the Sunset Strip. I really like to, there's some hangouts downtown Los Angeles that I really like to go to. There's a place, there's a rooftop bar that I really like to go to.
All right. Cut. We're going to stop the mock. Okay. So this is a typical interaction that a lot of the guys that I work with, that's how they interact with women. So mm-hmm. what you were talking about before, where, you know, you want to talk a lot about yourself,
mm-hmm.
that type of approach would give you ample opportunity to talk about yourself, but.
But I didn't.
But you didn't. And how did that feel for you? And because I could hear it as a woman, and I'm going to say what I heard afterwards, but how did that feel for you?
It felt okay. It felt okay. It felt pretty natural. I'm thinking, though, while I'm saying all of those things, I'm watching him, and I'm kind of just looking at him and seeing if he's looking at his phone or, you know, if he's really giving me his attention. If I'm attractive and he's nice and he seems like, you know, he's not an axe murderer, then, the conversation will continue. And then it would be a perfect time for him to maybe ask me another question about myself. And then I would cautiously tell him more.
Okay. You liked what I was saying to you?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I really did.
Really?
I thought it was, yeah, it seemed okay. It didn't seem, you know, I mean, this is an initial meeting, you know. It's like I can't expect too much more from people having the guts to even come over. The plus for me was that there was nothing really cheesy. Like there was nothing like, you know, I mean, I thought it was okay that he said that I was attractive from across the room. I thought that was okay.
Okay.
You know, it'd be nice if there was something maybe a little bit more original, like, you know, I, you know, your blonde hair caught my attention, or your eyes from across the room. Like I really wanted to come over and meet you, you know, the woman that was attached to them, even though that might sound a little bit cheesy for me, that would be kind of a sweet little thing to say. But there was nothing over-the-top cheesy or aggressive in it. It seems really sweet and natural, and I thought that was nice.
Wow, you are a nicer woman than most of the women I've ever talked to. That's interesting, because that's actually not the way that I thought you were going to respond. But that's interesting information for me to hear, because there were a couple of moments where I heard in your voice like a deep breath to give more answers. Because for me, on my end, I kept bombarding you with questions as opposed to opening up myself and sharing and connecting with you. But it's good to hear that there's other perspectives, that actually would have been interesting for you, and you...
Yeah, okay. I would have stuck around to listen. And the fact that I was, taking a breath, I think it's really good to slow things down, when you're in that kind of social setting. So, because it's so loud and it can be so obnoxious and awkward and weird. So I would slow things down and take my time, in answering questions. And I would be looking at him while I'm doing those things to see if he's engaged with me. So my approach and my timing would be slowed down, and I would be seeing if he is really looking at me, paying attention, where he's looking at me, those kinds of things.
Right.
Is he concerned that he got a text message, or does he not care about his text message that he just got? All of those things I'm kind of observing as I'm slowing down the conversation.
Right. Okay. That makes complete sense. So then would you, if he said to you, can I have your phone number? I'd like to take you up for a drink next week. You would say yes?
I would say that's a possibility. Is there a chance that you can stick around a little bit longer and we can get to know each other a little bit better before I do that?
Okay.
That's exactly what I would say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's try one more time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
With a conversation. Okay. So, hi, my name's Brad. How you doing?
Your name's Brad?
Yeah.
Hi, Brad. My name's Lorraine. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How's your night going?
My night's going okay, except that my girlfriend canceled on me, so here I am. I'm just going to have a little cocktail and then get on with my night. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry that your girlfriend canceled on you. There's probably nothing worse than flaky friends, so I had the same thing happen myself where my friend
You're
canceled
kidding.
On me. No. So it's kind of interesting that we find ourselves in a similar predicament.
Okay, well, that's really cute. That's really cute that you said that, because I don't believe you for a second, but I think that's adorable what you just said.
So. All right, good. So did you feel more of a connection to this person, like compared to the person that before, where we didn't even go any deeper to have a conversation, but compared to the conversation from before, what were the differences for you?
Immediate connection, adorable. He found a way to connect with me with him taking control and not me.
Exactly.
And that was awesome. I would have liked to talk to
you. So you would have slept
control.
With me is
not
what
longer.
You're saying. You would have had, I'm just joking. But
But
that's interesting. So you're saying, like, in that 30-second interaction, which I don't even think it was 30 seconds. So for this guy compared to the other guy before, if after just that interaction, there were a couple more seconds of talking, he said to you, my friend just showed up, but I want your phone number. I have to go be with my friend right now. I'd love to take you out for a drink next week. Would you say yes to that guy?
Absolutely. Yes.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, because
Wonderful.
he was amazing. Like, that's amazing. That's really clever. Like, that's adorable and clever and not threatening and not weird. It was clever. And
all right.
I didn't believe him for a second, but that was awesome.
All right, good. So it's good to know that if I need to go pick up chicks, I can do it. My husband might be upset, but it'll still be good. No, that was perfect. That's what I wanted to hear. So it is wonderful. You're saying that, okay, for the first guy, it was like, okay, I still don't really know who you are. I would stay in conversation with you, but it sounds like you were waiting for something still. You were waiting
for him. Waiting for something. And actually, I was in more control of the first conversation because I was just sort of setting the pace and trying to figure out this guy, like where we were going to go with our conversation, and giving him, still being respectful and giving him time to kind of, get us there. But I was in more control of that. And this last conversation, the guy was definitely more in control, and that's pretty attractive.
Wonderful. Okay, and that's
but not cheesy and sleazy. Nice.
No,
it's
I didn't say like, look in this mirror, I can see, or you know, something stupid and cheesy that pickup artists would tell you to say. But no, yeah. I agree with you, and then that's what I would respond to as well. Someone who can, I call it like, if they can take what I dish out and, you know, stand tall and grounded and either give it back to me or at least take it in and find it entertaining. I like that. Yeah. I like a man who's a leader, not someone who follows me.
Yes. And he made me giggle. That's great. He made me. Yeah. When a guy can make you laugh or giggle, that's great.
Wonderful. Well, I think this is a great place to end this conversation, mainly because I'm like, yes, I'm right as always. I knew that. I'm just kidding. But no, this was wonderful. So can you tell us again the television show that you're working on? Because I'm sure it's going to be super successful. It's airing in Canada. You said you don't know the exact date, but what is it called?
It is called Ex-Wives Rock.
Nice.
And it's about ex-wives of rock stars and their amazing women. They're over the top. They've lived the life and they are good friends. And it's going to be a blast. It's a wild ride. We've been having a blast together.
Well, congratulations. I think that's amazing. You know, you said that you're producing the show or co-producing. So congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm so excited. Yes. 2012 is going to be a great year.
A wonderful year.
Yeah, we're going to develop some more stuff and, you know, I'll keep you posted. And you're such a sweetheart. Thank you so much for visiting with me. Fun.
Oh, thank you. Really, I'll say the same thing back to you. So thank you.
Okay, hon.